Hello, hello, hello. It's a fantastic day. I'm in a great mood. It's an all-new Loftus party. I'm here in the freezing tundra of Long Island, and across the country in an undisclosed campground is the Liberty Gypsy, where it's much warmer.
It's much warmer, and I'm not in a campground.
Well, that's where gypsies park. You park out in the woods, and you have big fires, and then the locals come by, and you scare them.
Yeah, and then, no, we actually fixed the encampment and now have a permanent fence.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Well, then that's not the gypsy lifestyle. That's like a Liberty Commando. That's
yeah,
like a Liberty survivalist. It doesn't
there
have the same
go.
Ring to it.
Sorry.
You could be a Liberty Prepper if you want to be.
Liberty Prepper. No, I like Liberty Gypsy. I'm not saying I don't do a little bit of prepping, but, you know.
Are you a prepper?
I'm nowhere near the prepper that my parents are.
Really?
My mother has so much toilet paper stockpiled, it's not even funny. She thinks someday she'll be able to use it as currency.
So much Liberty, you'll poop your pants. That's Liberty Gypsy motto.
Yep.
So much Liberty, you'll poop your pants. I'm afraid to become a prepper. I really am. Oh, because it's highly addictive. Like, here's the thing. I don't want to get a I want a tattoo. I desperately want a tattoo. My fear is I have an addictive personality. If I get one, I'll somehow get a whole sleeve. Buying weapons. I know for a fact once I start buying weapons, I'm going to be a collector, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really going to be into it. It's going to cost me a lot of money. With prepping, that seems like an awesome pastime, and I would spend too much money, and I would get way too into it. My old friend, Sam Simon from The Simpsons, he was a big prepper.
Really?
And Sam had, oh my gosh, he had the compound. That dude had a total animated Liberty compound. He had tons of weapons. He had there's these things you get where you can turn your pool water into drinking water and like potable water, I guess. He had solar panels all set up. I mean, that dude was ready to get off. And he's like, if it ever goes down, try to make it here. But if you don't make it, well, you don't make it.
Well, you don't make it. I'm willing to share, but you got to take the risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would, I'm afraid that if I get it, I see the freeze-dried food commercial where you can freeze-dry your own meals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, I should get that. I should totally buy that. I mean, listen, I just need more money. I need more money and I need more land, but I would totally be into being a prepper.
Yeah, no, I mean, a little bit here and there. We use some canning and stuff like that, and, you know.
You can the peaches, do you, out there?
We're just going to have to go up to Mom's house, but.
Yeah, right? Well, we ate some peaches at the Liberty Gypsy's place. We think the peaches might have turned. We can't stop shitting, so we're going to head to base camp where there's the mountain of toilet paper.
Right.
Clean ourselves up and then fight the zombies.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
So much news. So much news.
What a crazy week.
I guess we'll go back in time little bit to when Trump was talking to Congress, right?
That was only on Thursday.
You want to go back further?
No, I'm just saying it feels like a month ago with everything that's happened in the intervening days. But, I mean, it wasn't that long ago.
I missed the front half of the speech. I came in a little late to it, but he was absolutely crushing it. He was absolutely crushing it.
It was definitely his most restrained, on-point speech that I have heard him make since probably a couple weeks before the campaign ended. He knew what he wanted to say, and he said it, and I think he did an excellent job in articulating his vision. You know, of course, I love the liberals who say, oh, somebody wrote that for him. Yeah, because Obama didn't have speechwriters and Bush didn't have speechwriters. Of course somebody wrote it for him. It doesn't mean it's not his ideas.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous argument right there. I thought it was great. I liked the voice thing of it. The victims of interstellar galactic alien enemies or whatever the heck it stands for. Yeah, let's
support
fire that
agency
sucker up.
For the victims of illegal immigrant crime.
Or we could call it that.
Yes.
Some friends of mine, and you need this. You need these support systems. And I mean, like, there was an audible gasp. You know, like he was talking about forming, the Gestapo or something. There was an audible gasp in the stage or whatever you call that thing where he gave the speech. But I'm all for it. Friends of mine were the victim of drive-by shooting years ago. Some
Wow.
friends of mine in oh yeah. You know, it was a weird blessing. My buddy got hit, I think, in the arm, and his wife got hit in the knee. Like it went into her right beside the kneecap. On the bright side, when they went and got the bullet out, the doctor was like, "While we were in there, we noticed that you had some like scar tissue and some blah 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 that would have given you problems down the road." So we went ahead and got that out. So her knee is actually better now. However, there's like a if you're a victim of crime like this, there was financial support, there was counselors. It was great. Like my buddy, and he's a big time liberal. He was like, "This is an awesome thing to have." Like if you are the victim of just a senseless crime like that, you know, there's an agency that steps in and says, "Well, we got some money here to help you out with some bills because you were laid up for a while. And if you're in shock or we have counselors, so why not have that?" Actually, it seems like a duplicate agency as I say it out loud.
Well, no, but I think the other thing, one of the things that I was actually a huge fan of in Trump's executive order that got held up in the Ninth Circuit was it actually started talking about gathering statistics on these types of crimes. There is very little raw data available about how many times an illegal immigrant breaks the law versus a U.S. citizen, or how many terror-related charges are made. So part of what he was calling for was actually to start collecting and gathering that information, because there's a lot of anecdotal out there, but there's nothing really official.
There is the Ann Coulter book, Adios America, and I know that she's close with Trump, and he reads her stuff, and they're all and I'm kind of cozy with Ann. I saw her on a program the other day when she was actually she had to dig for these statistics, and she says that whole thing about, "Oh, immigrants don't commit as many crimes as regular Americans." That's patently false.
Well, it's patently false, but also if you look at the sanctuary cities and the numbers that we have, most of them are large urban areas where they're not asking about somebody's immigration status when they're arrested. So then even the numbers she can find are probably wrong.
Well, that's a backhanded compliment.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's a backhanded compliment towards her. I'm sure she did dig for a lot of statistics, but given the number of cities where it's not even asked and it's not even recorded, I mean, the data she has probably is very flawed. Not no fault of hers.
I want to say that they were comparing immigrants who committed a crime versus Americans who committed a crime. Like it's just an odd thing. Anyway, and I said, and I did it myself. See, that's the thing. I said immigrants, illegal immigrants, illegal immigrants. That's that drives me bonkers. That drives me bonkers that how quick, you know, political pundits and news media people can shift it from illegals to legals. No one is against
Undocumented.
undocumented workers. Okay, so we we're both on board with the Trump speech in front of Congress. Here's my criticism of it, okay? And this is kind of a harsh one. I'm done with the special guest stars on these speeches. I'm done with it. Like, there's a person here in the audience, and she was the victim of blah blah blah, and then everybody has to stand and they have to recognize the, you know, the girl that survived the thing, and then you give a little bit more speech and you go, "And then there's a young man in here who was hurt washing windows at the Sears Tower, and let's recognize it." I mean, it's too much. It's too much. And it's so blatant and it's so obviously political theater. I'm done with it. I guess it all started with Ronald Reagan. He's the
Yeah, I'm
guy
not
that did
sure
it
when it
first.
started because it's kind of been that way my whole life, but that would make sense because Reagan was elected when I was 8.
There you go. So you probably
I
don't
don't remember it not being there.
I remember for some reason, as fate would have it, I was a little kid, I was watching TV, and this plane had crashed into, I think, the Potomac. I'm probably wrong, but like it was a
Really
snowy
cold.
day.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Yeah, and there's these people like trying to live. They came out of the plane, they're drowning, and it seemed like the fire department, everybody was just like standing around, and this dude, just like this regular dude, just jumped in and helped and saved this woman's life.
Right.
So Reagan said, "Well, let's have him out and let's recognize this true American hero. And then ever since, it has just been a parade, parade, parade. And not to say that these people are not heroes and not to say they don't deserve recognition. I just think we need to take a break. Because it diminishes. I mean, it was when the widow of that Navy SEAL stood up and she was crying, it was incredibly touching. It was incredibly touching, right?
Now, as a comedian,
I also know how to milk the crowd. And we've talked about it on this show. Like, Donald Trump has graduated from an open micer to a headliner now. And all he has to do is stop clapping and turn back to the podium and everybody stops clapping. He milked it. He milked it. He milked it. So I know he did it and he knows he did it. So
now America knows he did it.
It became, if you listen to that audio, you can kind of hear the applause kind of trail off, and then Trump keeps clapping, and then it kind of starts up again, and it was so, oh my gosh, she's looking up towards heaven, and she's talking to her dead husband. It was like, but don't do that. I don't like to be manipulated like that. I find it, it's not cool. I love that lady. I love her husband. God bless him for his service, all of it, But don't manipulate me. Please don't.
Apparently,
do that.
Neither do Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Keith Ellison.
They sat for the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. The second one. They stood for her introduction, but they sat for the standing ovation.
Did you see how Keith Ellison had like his fingers all together, like his hands were templed? Like he was literally like he was sitting there like a supervillain, like contemplating, like it was like Austin Powers shit. Like like his next evil move. I mean, that was that picture was disturbing.
Well, his evil move before that was losing the DNC election, so that was good news.
Oh, well, they couldn't do that. I mean, like, seriously, with the stuff that that guy said, with the stuff that he has said, I'm getting ahead of myself.
It was awful close.
Who were the chicks in white? Who were those Democrat chicks who did the thumbs down, who were wearing all white?
That was all of our erstwhile Democratic senators and congresswomen.
But why were they wearing all white?
To symbolize women's suffrage and oppose Donald Trump, because somehow I guess he's going to take away our right to vote. I don't know.
Right? Yeah.
They are so into virtue signaling, I can't even keep track anymore.
Virtue signaling. Yes. That's a great one. So you know all these cool things that I don't know. Virtue signaling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they're like, they're suffragettes, they're wearing all white. Never have I wanted PETA to bust in and just start spraying people with blood. Just jelly guns, some kind of red marmalade.
Well, it's so ridiculous because I've been a woman in the United States for my entire life.
Really?
And I have never felt that I am lacking any rights as opposed to my male counterparts.
Because you haven't
this, like,
been.
Ongoing fight for women's rights. I'm not at that point. You're looking for special privileges, which
exactly.
I have a real problem with.
Well, that's what I did on the Flipside TV show. Like, what do you? We want more equal. That's not equal. Well, we want more. Like, we all have the same rights. And this is a fact. 51% of America's wealth. 51% of America's wealth is held by women.
Yeah.
So you're
that's
actually
you all die
winning.
First.
Survived by his wife.
Exactly.
Yeah, we do die first.
I
you
know.
Ladies are killing us with your nagging, and you take out the garbage. Take out the garbage.
Oh no, that's yes. Standard operating procedure in my house.
So
I
women
love how
have
I'm pressed. I never have to take out garbage. I don't have to clean up dog crap. If it's heavy,
yeah.
I don't have to lift it.
It's yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Oppressed.
That's
I can't
and that's
stand
what.
It.
That's what makes me unhappy. It's not fair. It's not fair. Women have the distinct advantage. The distinct advantage. And if you don't know, and if you don't know that you have the advantage, and you don't know how to use your advantage, I'm not going to help you. Because me and my fellow dudes, we're in a fight for our lives.
Yeah,
this
I
seems
actually
like
wrote
a hot,
an entire
sweaty,
blog
miserable
on
task.
It. For,
you did.
For the website, yep.
You did. What was the title of the blog?
Something to the effect of, "Dear men, please keep being toxic."
Because there you go.
The thing at the time was toxic masculinity.
Did you put that on Facebook?
Oh, I put it on Facebook. It was very popular. I wrote it like right after we launched the site.
Here's what we're going to start doing, and I'm announcing this publicly. We're going to start putting the blogs on the Facebook, We're going to get, here's what we're going to be like drug dealers. We're going to be like drug dealers of fun. And we're going to give away a little. Well, we actually give it away on the website. Like the first ones on the house, and then you got to come to the site to get more. You got to come to the Loftus Party crack house of fun to get
there
it.
There you go.
Which I swear to God, there's going to be more nudity. There's going to be more salacious content. We are going to dance around PG-13 hard R material. That's I've been thinking about CPAC a lot. I've been thinking about it a lot, and we have to go even farther, Liberty Gypsy. We have to really push this envelope. We are going to have such a good time and be a bit more outrageous, so that people. I want it to be like a guilty pleasure that they come and like, who can believe that this site that leans to the right, these libertarian, these conservatives. I can't believe what they're doing. That's what I want. These people, they're shackled. They're shackled by their, they are, by their addiction to like eagles and red, white, and blue and their jingoistic fucking bullshit. We're just gonna like, you know those ships they put out in the Antarctic to break through the ice?
Yeah.
That's us. We are the icebreaker ship in this whole movement. I'm into it. I'm ready. You know, like I'm in such a good mood today. I'm ready to do some wacky stuff.
Wacky stuff.
Oh, like you do not want me in charge of the website today. I would throw stuff up there. Yeah, people getting tattoos in weird places. There'd be all kinds of stuff. It would be off the rails. Okay, so but we're getting away from politics. Here, I should for you people listening, I did stand up last night. I did two shows. I was headlining Governors and Levittown. And here's what I know. Stand-up comedy makes me feel better. It just makes me feel better. It's like a giant therapeutic, just a regurgitation of emotional shit and comedy and political stuff and relationship stuff and sex stuff and science fiction stuff. It's like this podcast.
It's just a
but with a big
us.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. I was talking about being a Trump supporter last night at the end of the first show. And like, hey, and I told him it like he wasn't my guy. He wasn't my guy. But when it came down between him and Hillary, that's a no-brainer. And I'm just tired of having to act surprised. You know, when people are like, I can't believe this guy's president. You got to act like, I don't even know how it happened. That's a mystery to me. And how it's so good and it's so liberating just to say, yeah, I did it. Yeah, I voted for that guy. Your Hillary Clinton, she sucked. She sucked ass. It was so great. It was so great. And the crowd was losing its mind.
I'm imagining you had a lot of like-minded folks in Levittown.
I did. I had one lady come up
to
me after the show.
You were playing to the crowd there.
I had one. I tell you what, they're timid. They're timid. And they were waiting. Once I said it, and once I said, yep, I did it, and I do that shit again, that's when they really came on board. They're waiting for a leader. And that's, I think, what Trump realized probably in the late 90s or early 2000s. They're just like, they don't know they're waiting for a leader, but they are, and they respond to it. I only had one person, like, he was really funny until he started talking about Donald Trump. I didn't care for that. Yeah, and I bet you walked out of a comedy show when people were talking about Obama. I bet you walked out. She didn't walk out of my show. She stayed for the whole thing. She had a great time. But, like, that's just – I hate the hypocrisy of it. So anyway, that's why I'm in such a good mood. And what happens – this happens to me on stage too. I get in a really good mood, and then I'm kind of scatterbrained. So I need the Liberty Gypsy, the shackles of liberty, the dog collar of truth to keep me on task.
What?
See, that's just it. I don't even know what – it just came flying out of my mouth. You know when your dog has a shade right now? I need that kind of focus. I need that lampshade of shame to keep me focused on politics.
You don't have to stay focused on politics. My God, we spent 20 minutes on sushi and 15 minutes on why we hate cruises in this podcast.
Oh, we will get there. We will get there. There's some stuff that I don't want to miss. We got to talk about Trump's tweet the other day. About Obama and the wiretaps at Trump Tower.
Yeah.
I thought it was outrageously great. I thought it was the best. on so many levels. I am at 100. There is zero downside to that tweet. Zero.
No, but of course our friends in the liberal media and across the aisle are trying to turn it into grounds for impeachment, which is always entertaining.
How is that grounds for impeachment?
Well, because apparently, according to some liberal pundits, he's accusing Obama of a capital crime, and to do that is illegal, and so he could be impeached. Now, do I believe any of that? No. It's just the way they're overreaching on this, just like they overreached on Sessions. It's just, it's amazing the lengths they will go to like develop this narrative that just doesn't hold water. But the most amazing thing, okay, so he put out those tweets, and I think some people are right in that it was a Breitbart article by Joel Pollack that kind of got him wound up. But all Joel Pollack did in that article was summarize news articles that have been out there for months. I mean, it wasn't new information that Joel came across. It was literally going back through what had transpired beginning last summer.
Here's a moment that happened this morning on ABC News, whatever, Sunday morning, whatever their crappy program is. The lady who hosts that was all very, her eyebrows were furrowed, and she was very, very concerned, and she was talking to a spokesman for the Trump administration. She kept, and the girl from the Trump administration, who I'd never seen before, I don't know her
name.
That's
Huckabee's daughter, Sarah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's going like, if these allegations are true, and if there is blah, 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 and the woman from ABC is like, if, you keep saying if, you can't have an investigation on if. And the girl, Huck, if it was Huckabee's daughter, she missed a huge opportunity. A huge opportunity. Oh,
Every investigation is based on if.
Yeah. And what the fuck are you doing looking into Jeff Sessions if it wasn't for if?
Uh-huh.
So she laid back, and she could have like gone for the knockout blow. But that's like, it's fantastic. Yes, let's please, by all means. I love, all he had to do was tweet that out, and it opens up the door for, yeah, let's look into this. Let's look into the wiretapping they did. Let's look into how they tried to, oh, I don't know. Didn't they tap Angela Merkel's phone?
Oh, No.
Well, yeah, weren't we trying to affect the outcome in the Israeli election? What were we doing there? Yeah, where are we spending our little money? Didn't we wiretap James Rosen? Did they wiretap Cheryl Atkinson? Let's see. Let us now have a really good, open discussion about how Obama weaponized the government against its own people.
Well,
it
the IRS
is phenomenal.
Scandal,
yeah.
The original lies about the NSA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. There is zero downside.
If you go back and look at this, it was well reported in the mainstream media, and Mark Levin actually did a wonderful job laying this out this morning on a couple of the Sunday shows. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the Guardian, all printed stories about the Obama Justice Department and the FBI together pursuing what is called FISA warrants, which are generally used for foreign intelligence. So they're generally used for information gathering on non-U.S. citizens. Now, sometimes some U.S. citizens are going to get caught up because they're interacting with these foreign agents. So, I mean, and this goes back for months, and their initial warrant was declined, which is amazing because I've read statistics that about 1 in 2,000 are turned down. So it must have been really bad.
Yeah.
And so then they came back in October with a redone warrant with a narrower scope. And what I'm reading is saying that one was approved. So there was a FISA warrant to look into Trump associates that they believed had ties to the Russian government. Now, that's been going on, and there has been no definitive information that has come out. You know, we had this dossier come out, BuzzFeed posted it, and we've had a lot of innuendo, but there has been no, and even folks from the Obama side of the House this morning saying there was no definitive information regarding the Trump campaign and connections to Russia. So with all that, this has been widely reported in the media. And this morning, you'd think New York Times, The Washington Post, and The Guardian forgot they ever printed those stories.
CNN had a headline, Trump falsely accuses Obama of wiretapping.
Because
that was their headline.
Because they know that
exactly. Like I saw that you tweeted out a couple days ago that like a few months ago you didn't believe all this mainstream media is biased mumbo jumbo, but the longer you look at it, the more you believe. I know I'm paraphrasing there.
No, I basically said I used to think the MSM bias was ridiculous. Living 40 days into the Trump administration, I know it's ridiculous. Are we done yet? I mean, it's insane.
It's at a whole nother level. But here's what I know. Like, what Trump is talking about is going to shine a light on real crimes. On real crimes. And that is the wonderfulness. Like, I still can't get past this. And I cannot believe that most journalists and members of – it's such an obvious, like, just a political fulcrum. Ooh, I used fulcrum in a sentence. Wow. This whole Russian hacked the election. Russia hacked, like, I still, to this day, and I'm getting angry now, and I don't want to get angry, because that's just predictable and boring and blah, blah, blah. But, like, what did they do? Like, are they in trouble? Like, did the Russians fish John Podesta?
Yes,
that's
they
the
did.
Crime. That was the Russians?
Oh, I don't know if it was the Russians,
exactly.
But John Podesta got fished, and nobody on the left cared one whit about Russia until that
right.
happened.
So like, until you can show me that, like, that the Kremlin or Putin, like, said, hey, here's the idea. Let's go fish John Podesta. And, like, that's like, international. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the crime. But, like, what do they think Jeff Sessions was doing, like, meeting with this Russian ambassador? Was he like, good work, comrade? Now, here's Debbie Wasserman Schultz's passwords. Like, is that – like, what is the crime? What is the crime?
The whole nonsense around Jeff Sessions just kind of made me a little bit crazy. First of all, the question was asked by Al Franken, Stuart Smalley.
And it was all that hypothetical crap.
It was a hypothetical crap. Aimed, and it was structured around Sessions' role as part of the Trump campaign. Did you, as a member of the campaign, have any knowledge of people in the campaign or yourself have contact with the Russians? Okay, no, he said no. Did he offer additional information at that point? No. So then they go back and figure out that he had one meeting with the Russian ambassador with his aides present talking about the situation in the Ukraine, because he was a ranking member of the Foreign Affairs Committee.
Yeah.
So, of course, hello, the intelligence people, come on. He's met with 25 ambassadors in the course of the last year. If you look at other senators, they meet with ambassadors frequently, depending on what types of committees they're on. It was in the normal course of his day job, which was being a senator for the state of Alabama. The other time he ran into the Russian ambassador was at the RNC at a speech Sessions was scheduled to give at the Heritage Foundation. Okay, so it was a sponsored
speech.
This is
now the part that I'm interested in talking about. Because that little run-in at the RNC mm-hmm. was part of an Obama program.
Exactly.
And it was like ambassadors for democracy or blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. They invited 100 ambassadors
yep.
to come and witness how democracy works, and they sent them to the Republican National Convention.
Right.
You cannot then turn around and go, and what were you doing then? The president set it up.
Exactly. The White House invited the diplomats who were there, and yes, the Russian ambassador was among them. So, I mean, I look at the available information. I'm like, this is a nothing burger.
That's why I didn't want Sessions to step down. That's why I was completely on board with Trump, where there's a way to be open and honest about this and just say, but Sessions, being a political animal, he's going to play the game. It's like chess. He's like, okay, I can see how there's bad optics on this, and it kind of might look la la la. So you took my bishop, but I still have my two castles and my knight. It's just I really wish he hadn't stepped down.
I really wish
he would get on TV and say what we just said.
Well, I to some degree he did in his press conference. The way I understood it from his remarks is he had been talking to the ethics folks at the DOJ and their other attorneys. Sessions is an attorney. About whether if there ended up being an investigation into activities during the campaign, whether he should recuse himself because he was a surrogate. Now, I wish he hadn't done it that day, if it was truly the appropriate thing to do, because now we have an assistant God. DOJ, an assistant attorney general who's an Obama holdover. So his assistant attorney general has not been through the Senate confirmation process yet, and that's not going to happen as long as this is going on.
Well, I still, like, what is the crime? Like, what is he, what is, so let's say he met with the ambassador from Russia on a park bench, like out of a old-time spy movie. Like, what is he doing? Like, what is the crime? Well, like, is he saying, if you do this, we'll do that? Like, is there money flowing around? Because, like, if people are pissed off about this kind of stuff, then you got to bring charges against Hillary Clinton for the whole uranium thing.
Well, and
because
any
there's a direct
other
correlation.
Things.
You asked you. Well, yeah, I'm just saying, like, off the top of my head, you guys got some uranium. We need the uranium. Hillary says, hey, let's make this easy to have happen. And then all of a sudden, a few million dollars goes pouring into the Clinton Foundation. Like, there's the crime. There's the crime.
Well,
so let's
and
go after that. I don't know. With all these meetings, this is like – this is wag the dog on an epic scale that we have never seen before. I have yet to hear anybody say what when they say Russia hacked the election, what in the holy fuck does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything. It means the DNC got hacked and that John Podesta got fished, okay? Why they use the word hack with election is narrative. You know that.
But, like, why doesn't anybody – and this is what I love about Donald Trump is that he hits back. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, if I was Trump, I would just tell all his spokesmen to go out there and just, like monotone, just repeating it over and over again. So what's the crime? So what's the crime? Are we talking about fishing? Because I'll talk about that till the cows come home. But you say hack the election. Did they get into voting machines? What did they do? What did they do? And just end this nonsense. It is so part of the lexicon now. And I know we've talked about it before on the show, and I know it's boring. And now I got my panties in a bunch over it. But it's just, and this is why people on the right get angry about it, because there are douchebags in charge, and that's what's so refreshing. That's what's so refreshing about Donald Trump. I swear to God, like, he cuts through this bullshit. He's not a political animal. He doesn't do the Jeff Sessions thing of, oh, it's bad optics, I'll step to the side because they'll say this and they'll say that. Trump just goes out and goes, hey, Obama hacked me. Obama tapped my phones, and ba-boom. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, it certainly has people scrambling.
yeah.
You know, and it's going to be an interesting couple of days. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, let's see how interested they are in finding the truth now.
Well, and then he's going to drop his new travel ban, as they're already calling it, on Monday.
That's wonderful.
Is the well, you know, and then I got into all kinds of trouble on Twitter because there's some horrible scuttlebutt that part of the Department of Homeland Security and ICE's new procedures will be to separate mothers and children who illegally cross the border, and I'm all for it.
Like, why separate them? Like, if a mom...
Because the mom goes to a detention center because she broke the law, and we put the child into protective custody to be appropriately cared for.
Okay,
so
the mom goes
with her child. I'm totally good with it.
You don't think we could build or take an already existing facility and say, hey, mom and kid, you can stick together until we send you back?
I would hate to, like, incarcerate essentially children. Yeah. I mean, I look
mean,
at
it
this
be
way.
Fun.
If I did something,
you know what I did?
If I
like,
did
I think
something
it was like...
illegal, if I as an American citizen did something illegal to the point where I could be detained, I would be separated from my children.
That is correct.
Why
that
should
is
this
correct.
Be handled any differently?
Because we're America and we're the shining city on the hill. But here's what I said on the flip side a long time ago. We should get deportation cruises set up. Seriously. We get Disney to sponsor the whole thing.
Oh my God.
If a mom and her kid like cross the border illegally, they're immediately shipped to like San Diego where they get onto a Disney cruise and they get sent back to the country where they started out. And they get to hang out with Mickey and Goofy and the gang and like, I guess you broke the law. You got to go back to Colombia. And then we drop them off.
This
they have
is
a
almost
wonderful
as good
trip.
As the amusement park on the wall.
The more I think about it, absolutely. I tell you what, I want a roller coaster on the top of the wall. No, roller coasters on the side of the wall. High speed rail going from San Diego to New Orleans is on the top of the wall. And on the inside of the wall, like every 500 miles, is a casino with the loosest slots in America
Oh my God.
and free parking.
I thought you wanted it to make money though.
It
That way it could
will.
pay for itself.
It will. You're going to sell tickets to the train. You're going to sell tickets to the roller coasters, and that casino is going to make a boatload of money. And they'll all have themes. Like one will be like a Chinese theme, like ooh, the Great Wall of China, and then one will be like the pyramids of Egypt. And you can have a hunk of the wall that sticks out a little bit, makes it look like a pyramid. I have ideas. I have sketches. I'm going to send them to the White House.
Wow.
And my Disney cruise back to the country of origin is also a great idea. They get a great buffet, all you can eat, and it's a good time
Well,
'cause
they get a
America's
very
awesome.
American experience, actually.
Yes. So they can take that back to Guadalajara or wherever the hell they're from. It'll be great.
And you know, Disney would never go for that.
Disney wouldn't. We might have to. It might have to be like a knockoff version. I mean,
Okay.
it's like when Transformers was a big movie, people did other robot movies that were like
Right.
cheap knockoffs of it. It'll be a knockoff of Disney. We won't have Mickey Mouse. We'll have Sammy Mouse, and Sammy Mouse has like a red, white, and blue hat, so he's kind of like
Sammy
if
the
Uncle.
Rat.
No, it'd be a mouse. He'd be adorable. It'd be like if Uncle Sam and Mickey Mouse had a baby. That would be Sammy Mouse. And we can come up with characters till the cows come home, but we ship them back. They have a great experience. And here's my other one. If homeless people go crazy, we send them to the Middle East.
What?
Yeah. If like a homeless person commits a bunch of crimes, they're like they're breaking into 7-Elevens or whatever, let's not put him in an American jail. Let's send him to like Mosul.
As part of like the military structure
Well, yeah, I guess we should
to
probably
fight
give him
for
a gun.
us?
I don't know, just to kind of hang out and
Oh my
experience
Lord.
and be an ambassador of our culture.
And I thought like separating moms and their kids a little bit over the top.
Well, I'm serious, but like we've all seen the crazy homeless people. Like it's just an idea. I'm floating the balloon. We could do it.
Yeah.
We could do it.
I still like Sharia land as an idea.
Sharia land is the best.
It's the best idea you ever had.
I'm never gonna top it. And I think that Donald Trump, hopefully he'll hear about it. I need to discuss this with Ann Coulter because she has his ear, but it is the best idea and it would work like a charm.
Yep, no tourism, but.
No, but you get the UN, you get everybody on board. This little hunk of Syria is just going to be for you guys. Have at it. Do it up. Enjoy your Islamic Shangri-La. And then after about 10 or 15 years, they'll believe us. Well, either A, they'll kill themselves, because that's normally what happens with these types. They'll kill each other because there'll be a fight over who's the best Muslim. And then if not, we just wipe them out in one big airstrike, one big unannounced sneak attack, as my man Donald Trump likes to talk about.
Oh God.
I love it. Like he takes a lot of grief for talking about the sneak attack, but I'm all in favor. I've said this on stage, and I'll say it again and again and again. The only reason we have a country is because we didn't fight fair.
That's
Like
true.
the English. This is on the. Oh, and I was watching it last night on YouTube. I went back and I was looking at old clips from American Wise Ass, and I'm gonna start doing that stuff again. That was so much fun, and it was so great. I'm gonna start doing more of it on the Flip Side TV show, little stories from history. But the only reason we have a country is because we didn't fight fair. If there's ever been a country on the face of this planet who knows what it is, like, hey, we don't give a shit. We just want to win. We got to get back to that. Well, you're not allowed to do that. Sorry, it's war. It's war, and I'm playing to win. I would do horrible stuff. I would have like big, like pinatas that I would drop off, like of naked chicks on the back of a donkey, but like a big pinata, like 30 feet tall, and like the naked chick, like with tits hanging out, and it would be like so. Just like in your face, hardcore nudity. And you're like, it's a pinata of a naked. What does it mean? And you drop that off in like Mosul, or you drop it off in Syria, and all these crazy Islamic people would be like so offended by it, so incredibly offended, they would come in to destroy it. That's when the whole thing blows up.
Oh my God.
And like after the initial killing blast, then there's fireworks and it plays the American national anthem.
Oh my God. And this is why Michael is not on the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I am an idea man, Gypsy. I'm an idea man. I have all kinds of stuff. All right. So I'm all for the let's look into the Obama wiretap, the Russian hacking thing. Part of me doesn't even want to utter the phrase anymore. I want to make it the Voldemort of politics. Until you can tell me what the crime was. And that's the other thing I would do, is if like Russia hacked the election, I'm like, okay, yes, they did. Yes, they did. When they released this email, and then I would read the email. I would read the email. Oh, is this the one you're talking about? This one where they hacked it? The one where John Podesta talks about, throwing Bernie Sanders under the bus? Is that the email? Oh, it's probably this email where John Podesta is talking about how to start a revolution in the Catholic Church. Is that the email you're talking about? Is that the one? Oh, it's probably this email. And I would just go on and on and on. And they would roll their eyes and they'd huff and they'd puff. And I'd go, okay, I guess you don't want to talk about this. I guess you want to change the subject.
Well, unfortunately, the way they change the subject is to call it a Russian hack.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's fantastic. And I did this on the flip side, too. I put up a picture of Time magazine when Boris Yeltsin was elected in Russia. And they're like, and it was the cover of Time magazine. It was this joyous, joyous ovation about how America secretly helped Boris Yeltsin get elected. Da 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 da. So really, we don't do it? I think when we do it, that shit's on the cover of Time magazine. Did Obama not try to affect the outcome of Israel's election?
There was actually an article that came up from 2015 that got very little play because I don't remember this at all. That was in the Wall Street Journal, where when they were going through the Iran deal,
yeah,
they actually spied on Congress and Congress's discussions with various Jewish groups and Netanyahu.
Yeah,
I totally missed that. That's so illegal.
That one flew under the radar because journalists were all asleep and they didn't care. And it's Obama, so let's look the other way. Yes, actively spying on Congress. Actively spying on Congress.
Amazing.
That sounds like a crime. And now we can talk about it. And that's what Donald Trump did when he accused Obama personally, or the Obama administration, of tapping his phones. He just opened up a Pandora's box of whoop ass and let it fly. Let it fly. It is wonderful. Now, let's talk about all the shit they gave Kellyanne Conway for putting her feet on the couch.
Oh my God.
Be proud of yourselves, journalists. Be proud of yourselves. That was horrifying.
It was horrifying. And then you had, what was his name? I think Cedric Roberts make a really off-color comment about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were talking about that this morning. What did he say?
Something I have about no she idea looks what he familiar said. In that position or something like that.
Oh, I mean, I thought it was sexual.
The way he said it, it came out that way. I can't remember his exact words. But Nancy Pelosi, oh, I can't comment on that. I'm not exactly sure what he said. Oh my God, if those comments had been made about a female member of the Obama administration, Nancy Pelosi would have been lit up like a 4th of July firework for the misogyny of it all.
Oh, it is. I tell you what, women's group, shame, shame, shame.
Shame.
Any kind of, for real, like you're now allowed to burn your pussy hat. Because if you stood idly by and let that happen, you don't get to wear that cute little hat anymore.
Well, they're all still going to wear the cute little hat because the prevailing wisdom is it's okay to bash conservative women because we don't think right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Obviously.
We are victims of the patriarchy. You've met me. I look like a victim, don't I?
Total victim. You and Jenna Jameson.
Yeah.
Big time
total
victims.
Total victim.
Oh, my gosh. Her Twitter feed is outrageous. So much fun. It's fantastic. Well, we're going to go from Kellyanne Conway and her feet on the couch to a piece of information we didn't have. We forgot to get to it last week, but there's Kim. What's Kim's Twitter handle?
Jay Bailey's mom.
Jay Bailey. Oh, she's a mom.
Yeah, she's a mom.
Okay,
To a
well, she's
six-year-old.
to a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Well, Kim is responsible. I don't want to think about her having a 6-year-old now. She's responsible for the rusty trombone tweet that got us going a couple weeks ago. And then she also found, I guess we're just going to call it camel toe underwear.
Oh my God. You know, there are things I understand. Okay? I understand the
First of
underwear.
all, Liberty Gypsy, if I
Yeah.
may be so bold, why don't you tell our audience just what a camel toe is?
It's something most women tries to avoid. It's when your pants are too tight and you can see the goods.
So
It's
there is
one of the
so
things that you as a mother tell your daughters to check before they
Yeah.
leave the house. Your
You
boobs can't
can't
fall
wear
out of your bra, and you should not have a camel toe.
Well, I wouldn't say the boobs shouldn't fall out of your bra. I'm always a big fan of that. I'm always a
No,
I
no,
no,
no, no, no, no, no,
I'm
no,
a
no, no.
big fan of Her Cup Runneth Over. I remember being a little kid and there was a movie, The Three Musketeers with like Michael York and Raquel Welch and all these, and Raquel Welch was in this dress that at any moment it looked like her boobs were gonna pop out. And I'm like 10 years old or whatever in the movie theater, and I'm like, I like that girl. I like her a lot. So
Yes,
let's
but
not we're not gonna throw the booby out with the camel toe.
okay, all I'm saying is like when you teach your daughters, raise your arms, bend over, da 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 da, is everything where it's supposed to be? Are all the lines smooth? That's how you walk out of the house.
Okay, so the camel toe underwear is what I call false advertising. It is
It's,
a
I call it disgusting.
whoa, whoa.
Women go to great lengths to avoid that look. Why would you do it on
Evident
purpose?
because you want attention. Perhaps it
That's
is
the
a way
wrong
of
kind of
signaling
attention.
you, well, that's your judgment. You're putting your own stuff on there, but maybe
Generally, that happens because you have an out-of-control muffin top.
you know what I think we should do?
What?
This would be hilarious. Like, women in the military have to wear this camel toe enhancing underwear. So when they're out killing Islamic jihadis, the last thing these guys see before they die
That is just
is
wrong
a
on so
chick who's
many
ready to
levels.
bang. That's hilarious.
No. I
So
get
anyway.
the push-up bra. I get the thing Raquel Welch was wearing. I get the butt insert so you got a little J-Lo going on.
No,
I do
no,
not
no.
get the camel toe. Nope.
See, that's where you lose me. That's I'm against, seriously. I'm for the push-up bra. I'm against the padded bra. I am against the booty enhancing underwear, and I'm also against the camel toe enhancing underwear because that is false advertising. I'm a married guy. However, if I were single and I met a girl at a club and I'm like, wow, look at the boobs on her. Wow, look at that ass. And holy smoke, she's got a vajayjay that's ready for business. Then you get her home and you take off the bra and you're like, oh, I guess, oh, that was a padded bra. These are not what I was expecting. I can still, I love boobs. I'm still good to go. But man, that ass, that's gonna be deli. Whoa, that was a pad. Oh, she has a very, very flat derriere, as though she's been raised on the back of a 1x6 piece of lumber. Well, at least that vajayjay is all puffy and ready. Oh, it's not. It's not. It's like two raisins. Like,
I
that's
see.
false advertising.
False
That is the reason
advertising.
not to do it. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to walk around with a sock in my underwear.
Sure you are.
That's
What's stopping you?
what's stop. It's false advertising. Like,
I didn't,
already I'm
yeah, you said you
already.
wouldn't. You didn't say you actually couldn't.
I wouldn't listen. Ladies are already gonna be disappointed when they unwrap.
Oh, jeez.
When they take
Stop.
off, they're already disappointed. I don't want to add to that. I don't want to
Okay.
go, wow, look at this grand specimen. And then it's zip, and it's not a zip flop, it's a zip.
Jeez Louise.
I wouldn't know. Listen, if anything, I downplay it. I downplay it. It's like, it's teeny. It is so tiny. You probably won't even feel it.
Oh my God.
And then when they unwrap it, they're like, oh, well, this is a happy surprise. That's good. That's quality comedy right
I
there.
got
I can't
nothing.
believe.
I got nothing.
Really? That was
Really.
super funny. And you're doing the big sigh and you got nothing. That is funny. I have a teeny tiny Tic Tac wiener.
Wow.
That's the advertising you put out there. Then,
So
listen,
you
undersell,
underplay everything.
undersell, overdeliver.
There you go.
The art of a deal.
At least one kind of deal.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay.
So I've also been updating you on our robot overlords this week.
Okay, see now there I know we're trying to get this story in, and I know
Yeah.
it's super important, so you had to do it, but man, oh man, that's a shocking gear shift. We just
It
went from
was.
sexy fun to robots of death.
Well, no,
And
because there's going to be sex robots too.
well, listen, we need the sex robots way before we need these killing machines
Oh,
on wheels.
they're coming like in the next 12 months, so I hear to brothels in Europe.
Go really?
Really?
Well, let's hope. Let's hope. And I need to see them, and I need to okay them. However, here's what you need to do, America and foreign countries where you listen to this program. Go to Flipside Loftus, and you're gonna have to scroll a little bit. Go to the tweets that I have liked, and you'll scroll down and you'll see this robot. I don't know who built it, but it stands up like a human being.
Boston
However, it's
Scientific.
Boston Scientific, and it has wheels for feet. And I know that sounds very counterintuitive, but like if you watch Transformers, there's a sequence in the movie Transformer where Bumblebee and Sam Witwicky, they're driving Bumblebee and they're going down the freeway and they're being chased by this skating Transformer. What are the bad guys? You got the Autobots and the Decepticons. This Decepticon, but it looks like it's speed skating. This robot, that's a person, people have built this thing. It has wheels like that Decepticon and it skates around. And I tell you what, Liberty Gypsy, the very beginning of the clip, when that thing like stands up, that did it for me. That did it. And then it just got more terrifying after that, with each new ability this flipping thing had.
Oh, what got me was sliding around in the snow.
And it didn't even slide.
It didn't even
Okay.
slide. It just
So the
went
thing,
zoom, 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 zoom. It can jump. It can
it's, oh
go
my
up and
God.
down stairs. And I'm like,
It stood
enough,
up. It stood
enough.
up, and I'm like, that's too much. Then it starts skating around inside the warehouse, terrifying. Then they have a ramp that it goes over on like 1 foot and like super terrifying. Then it starts like jumping over obstacles the size of a car. You're like, holy smoke, it doesn't get worse than this. Then it goes down a snow-covered hill, a grassy hill covered in snow into a parking lot, doesn't even slip. Doesn't even slip. And I'm like, okay, all you just put a knife on the end of that arm, put a gun on the end of that thing's arm, give it a, it's over. It is over.
You couldn't
We
get away
gotta
from it if
stop.
you tried.
I, you know what's, I thought about how to defeat it. And hopefully water would stop it, but maybe not. It seemed to be okay with snow. It seems like if it had a gun, you don't have a defense against it unless it's another gun. And maybe you could shoot out one of its wheels. I don't know. It was
I don't know
completely
because it
terrifying.
can travel on one wheel.
Right? Right?
Right? It has balance control. I mean, the thing was just terrifying. And I know Michael fears the robot overlord, so whenever I see something like this, I send it to him.
I
That
really
and
do.
the thing about that company that is collecting a personal profile on every American adult.
That's not cool at all.
Well, they're doing it, and apparently private investigators use it.
I saw an article last week and I just let it go. I kind of let it go and I didn't tweet about it, but Google has an AI that it's working on,
Oh,
and
yay.
I forget what they had the AI working on, but they kept making it more and more difficult for the AI, and it exhibited signs of anger and frustration.
Now that's wrong, because
And
even the
there
LMDs on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. do not feel emotions.
And this is what everyone's working for. They're working to, ooh, isn't this great? It has emotions. It
No, that's
reacted emotionally.
terrible.
It's completely terrible. I know what we should do. Let's make the robot angry and see. Oh, that'll be great for
That'll work.
science. For science. Just stop it.
Let's make the robot angry and let it program itself. What?
Yeah. Hey, before we run out of time, the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer is up. I am all in on this movie. Kurt Russell is playing Ego, the dad to the lead character. That's going to be fantastic. That's brilliant casting. That never occurred to me, but that is just perfect casting.
I have to go back and watch the first one so I can go see the second one.
You really do. You really do.
And
go
the first
watch
Deadpool. I'm behind.
Oh my! You haven't seen Deadpool?
No.
Okay. There's a montage.
The trailer for the next one cracked me up. The phone booth, though. God.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's too funny. Now I want to say. For the record, a friend of mine was a producer of the first Deadpool. I didn't realize that. I saw Deadpool. I laughed so hard. I mean, and that's a hard R movie. That's a hard. You have to see it so we can talk about it next week. That's your assignment. There's a sequence there. Hilarious. Just, I mean, the whole movie's funny. But anyway, I talked to my producer buddy about it, about Deadpool 2, and he said that, like, the first script that came in was bad, bad, bad. They didn't like it. And I know that Ryan Reynolds was heavily involved in the first movie, so I hope the second one is as good. It's going to be hard to have those great surprises again. However, I hope Mr. Ryan Reynolds is happy with Deadpool 2.
I just, the whole thing with the trailer and the phone booth is so dark, I was cracking up.
It was very funny. And Ryan Reynolds gave the ladies a treat and made sure he got his naked ass pressed up against the glass.
No, just the idea.
Yeah, you're welcome, ladies.
You're welcome. Yay. I was just laughing at the idea of the superhero changing in the phone booth to go save the man who gets shot as he's coming out of it. It just cracked me up, but I'm a big fan of the Coen brothers too. So
it's a very funny joke. However, I mean, to really dissect it, Superman has super speed. Mm-hmm. So of course the phone, and of course Deadpool doesn't have that. So it does. It's not a perfect analogy. So that's what has me a little bit worried. It's a funny joke. It stands up and yada, yada. We will see.
Well, okay. I will watch the first one so we can discuss it, and then we can tear the sequel apart if needed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but watch the first Deadpool. So funny. So funny and so great. All right, it is now time for Michaeltopia. We are going to bring this baby home. In the real world, there's a bunch of wacky rules and laws that don't seem to make any sense. There's a different set of rules in Michaeltopia, and everything makes perfect sense. Go ahead there, Liberty Gypsy. Hook us up with our first Michaeltopia.
In Michaeltopia, when you have three successive illnesses in 3 days and have to go back to the doctor, you should only have to pay once.
I agree.
Yes,
I agree.
I've seen more doctors in the last 3 to 4 days than I care to see in the next 3 to 4 years.
So wait, you went to the doctor and he says, you have this. And mm-hmm. then he lets you go. Mm-hmm. Then the next day, you have different symptoms. You go back to the doctor, and he goes, oh, you also have this.
Yep.
Then the third day, you've got new symptoms. You come, oh, you also have this. Exactly. You pay yep. once. That's a failure of medicine right there.
I just should have waited till I was really, really freaking sick, I guess.
So have them. I mean, like, listen, you know, my nose is doing this, my throat is doing this, I got a weird thing here, and that's doing that. Maybe they should think about treating the whole patient and not just the stuff you're complaining about.
Maybe. It's been a rough week.
It sounds like it has been. It sounds like it has been. But next week's going to get even better. It all gets better. That's the only good thing about being sick. There's two good things about being sick. When you have the flu and you're barfing and you've got it for a couple days, there's that moment when you just start to feel better. And then you look at yourself naked in the mirror and you're like, wow, I had the flu. I'm looking pretty good. Check that out. I got abs.
Right?
That's the best part. And then the other good part about being sick, and this is maybe I am a bit of a sadomasochistic. I don't know in S&M who likes to get punished or whatever. But when you're sick, I love when you start to feel better and you're like, mm-hmm. okay. And then you can, and this is just a bizarre philosophy. Maybe it's not bizarre, and I know I'm kind of going on and on about it. You never think about how good you feel when you feel good, right?
Right.
Like when your teeth are fine, you just kind of go, "Oh yeah," and you go on with your day. But we should take the time out from our day to go, "Oh man, my thumb doesn't hurt. My teeth are good. I have vision." You know, because like when you hurt your baby toe and like and you and every time you take a step, it hurts. You're like, "Man, I had no idea. I had no idea." So occasionally, thank your body for the things that it's doing well. Thank you, gallbladder, for the wonderful things you do. Thank you, appendix, you underappreciated hunk of unnecessary shit.
Yeah, I have neither one of those actually.
So that was perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, hippocampus. You got one of
I
those,
got one of
right?
those. Yep.
Okay,
And
me
a
too.
pituitary.
Yay! In Micheltopia, we do not weaponize the government against its own people. This is what we're talking about now, ladies and gentlemen, with Donald Trump's outstanding tweet about the Obama administration tapping his phones. We are now going to shine a light on the cockroaches that are people who have weaponized the government against its own people. And that is just going to be a gift that's just going to keep on giving and giving and giving. So in Micheltopia, we don't weaponize the government against its own people. Also, I got another one. In Micheltopia, there has to be a crime before there's an investigation. We're not allowed just to start. I mean, I guess you can, but in Micheltopia, you can't. You can't just like
You need
start
to
pulling
start that one
over
over.
people.
I lost the first part of it.
No.
No.
In Micheltopia, there has to be a crime before there's an investigation. You can't just start pulling people over and going, "You know what? I think you're guilty of something, and after our investigation, we're going to find out what you're guilty of." Talk about some Nazi tactics. This is straight up, show me your papers. You are guilty of a crime. We just haven't figured out which one. So we're just going to ask questions about everything and find out what you're guilty of. That's horrible.
That's horrible.
It is horrible.
No, I agree with you. I think this entire the entire last couple news cycles have just been like tear your hair out worthy. That's how ridiculous they are.
Well, that's our show. Here's your homework, America, and all points in between, and to the global audience. I never want to forget you guys, and thank you, thank you, thank you, people in other countries who listen, people who are stationed overseas who listen. Thank you so much. You do have some homework this week. You got to go to the Facebook page for the Flip Side with Michael Loftus on Facebook. Go over there, check that out. Check out the LoftusParty.com, our outstanding website. That's about to become a bit edgier, a bit more. I'm just going to keep pushing the envelope, Liberty Gypsy. We're just going to keep pushing the envelope. Titillation, titillation. And please, 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 go to iTunes and throw up some stars, or just go to iTunes and throw up. Go to iTunes.
Oh, jeez.
Click on some stars, because there's an algorithm. There's an algorithm for everything. And to get this thing going and to keep it growing, our growth has been huge the past couple months, and I love it, and I'm addicted to it, and I want more. So if you go to iTunes, review the show, say whatever you want, give us some stars. 5 would be awesome. However, I'm not going to be too picky about it, but we will grow, and then we can get more people involved and more people to voice their opinion. And we are selling liberty. We are the right. We're selling freedom. We want more fun. That's all we want. I don't know how we got painted into this corner of being uptight douchebags. However, the Loftist Party is going to struggle against that on a daily basis. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to talk Deadpool next week with the Liberty Gypsy. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.